We all have a calling. We have ambitions and dreams and goals. But the difference between those who achieve them and those who don't is rarely talent or intelligence or even opportunity. It's having a system. Two people can have the exact same objective goal. One hopes it happens or even goes the extra mile every once in a while, but the other creates a process to be consistent and persistent in the pursuit of that opportunity and for making it happen. One of the people waits for motivation and inspiration, and the other relies on identifying all the struggles, setbacks, and failures, the pain, the separation, the interference between him and that which already exists. In other words, execution. Ambition without execution is simply entertainment. Achievement is not an event. It's an intentional process built through aligned words, thoughts, beliefs, actions, feelings, discipline, associations, timing, and of course, risk tolerance. So many people have great intention without taking action. And Blaine Bartlett, my mentor, has always taught me about the importance of movement, action, that nothing actually happens until it moves. And so the first lesson, once again, if you'd like the exercises, guides, and books for today, davidbeloved@dmeltzer.com. Lesson number one is Napoleon Hill's main premise and the premise of Blaine's new book, having a definiteness of purpose. We need to know a clear trajectory of where we want to be or better, or else we will stay confused. And it is this clarity, balance, focus that creates harmony. And the more specific we are about the trajectory, the easier it becomes to execute. Blaine, you're writing a book about definiteness of purpose. How important is it? And what does it actually mean? Because a lot of people feel as if they're in search of their purpose.
That's a great question. And I love this topic. In the newest book, it's a small ebook, Stop Drifting, Start Living. The predicate is, clarity about what's important to me, what matters, in using that as the North Star. The furball that people run into, if you will, is they think they've got to go searching for a purpose outside of themselves. It's out there somewhere. I've got to go. Purpose lives inside. And what I want to do is I want to start paying attention to what actually lights me up. When do I feel most alive in my life? And then start tracing that back a little bit. And what is it that actually matters? What is it that is actually being accessed when I'm being lit up? When I start to give some language to that, then I have the beginning of a roadmap that can actually serve me very well as I start moving through my life, because that becomes kind of the metric, the litmus test for is what I'm doing consistent with where I say I'd like to be, do, or have, or is what I'm doing actually causing me to drift away from that core piece? So we trace it back, and you and I have had conversations about for the sake of what. So we kind of go back to this excavation for the sake of what? What matters? What matters? What matters? And you'll find a bedrock. You'll find a foundational piece there that you kind of go, okay, I can stand on this. So that's kind of how that works.
Yeah. And being able to stand on this requires a consistency. A lot of people I mentioned earlier go the extra mile every once in a while. And every time finals come up for any of my kids, I have to reiterate this lesson to them of, studying 15 minutes a day beats the shit out of 15 hours before the test. And we've been going through that with Miles here. I think he's hopefully my biggest objective is to learn throughout high school the lesson of definiteness of purpose and the consistent execution that is necessary, not the once in a while extra mile execution that doesn't provide the acceleration, aggregation, or compounding result of the conscious continuum. And so when we conduct an audit of this purpose, we need to know, you know, knowing our what we want personally, experientially, giving and receiving, who we could help, who could help us, how best to use our time in a consistent, persistent pursuit, and of course, our mechanism of prioritization, the antidote of drifting, where if we know what to do now and know what to do next, it's impossible to drift, to feel overwhelmed, to procrastinate. And so we are changing the definition of purpose, even to the respect that most people are in search of purpose instead of applying their why to their purpose. And if anybody would like the applying their why and definiteness of purpose exercise, just email me, David means beloved at D first initial, Meltzer means servant. Let me be your beloved servant, and just email me directly, David at dmeltzer.com. The second lesson is one in which our mentor, Bob Proctor, and I had some great conversations about specificity changes execution. And I tried to re-engineer his vision about specificity because we both agreed that specificity was necessary, but I gave him a different perspective on how specificity in a certain time and space relative manner can create resistance. So Bob used to teach, you know, make sure, you know, post it everywhere. You know, I want to make $1 million by December 31st at midnight. And I had suggested or tried to convey that my belief is that that creates resistance. And the reason it creates resistance is things happen exponentially. So we feel as if we're running out of time when we could be so far ahead of the ballgame. So that's the first argument about resistance of a time or space quantified nature in human constructs. But even furthermore, it limits us. And we also share a friend, not beyond Bob Proctor, but Diane Cannon, you know, wrecked my world when it came to perspective of limiting myself. I sat down and we shared Laker seats together, and she was a great mentor. She is a great mentor, but a great soul. And I sat down and I said, well, I'm going to live to, and she's probably the most healthy, best looking 89-year-old woman I've ever met. And literally. And so I said to her, well, I'm going to live to 111. And she looked depressed. And she's like, what did you say? I said, I'm going to live to 111, die on January 11th at 111 when I was born. She said, oh, why are you limiting yourself? You're going to tell the universe, what if they come up with technology that makes the average human being live to 1,000 and you've been saying for 60 years that you want to die at 111? So specificity has its nuances. And I believe that we have to be specific in our trajectory to create measurable progress. But the exactness in which Bob Proctor taught for years, I believe, creates resistance. I was wondering what your interpretation of specificity is to transform intention into execution.
Yeah, I'm smiling because Bob and I have the same conversation.
Probably where I got it from.
The idea of specificity, and this is kind of where I ended up landing, I want to be specific about the experience that I want to have. That experience is the emotional connection to the dream, to the ideal. So there's a vibrational component to that. When I start putting time, you know, time constraints on it, or place constraints, space and time constraints, or definitions, if you will, all of a sudden I'm telling the universe, you can only go this far. You can only do it within this, you know, within this box. But if I say, here's the experience that I want to have, this dream is the symbol of that, and it will unfold in the way that it's going to unfold. But this is the experience I want to have in that, both in the unfolding, but also in the manifestation and realization. So that's that kind of specificity, I think, is absolutely crucial because it's vibrational.
I've never heard that. I'm going to add that to my repertoire of specificity of experience, of feeling, is what we're after. It's a vibrational frequency and allowing us to ensure every goal is specific, measurable, actionable, time sensitive, but not time exact. And most importantly, as you mentioned, emotionally connected to that experience. If you would like the specificity that changes execution exercise and this replay and that nugget, you need to email me, David, it means beloved, at D is my first initial, Meltzer means servant. Email me, David at dmeltzer.com. The third lesson is one that fits right into my love language, which is organized action equals the success, fulfillment, passion, purpose, and profitability that loves structure. And one of the areas of my expertise in the pursuit of that expertise, the master of understanding organized action, which is a reconciliation of the higher vibration or frequency with man-made constructs to be productive, accessible, and gracious with the circumstantial evidence of the human experience that starts when the heart starts and ends when it stops. So we don't rise to our goals. We fall to our systems. And I have helped, and this is in the human experience, success is rarely, if ever, accidental. It may be coincidental, which is not accidental, but it is organized with the universe. In other words, it's coinciding with the universe in that coincidental, not accidental methodology of organized systems. And throughout that process, we find that what we pay attention to and what we give intention to, what we do say, think, feel, and believe, as Napoleon Hill talks about ad nauseum, what we pay attention to and what we give intention to equals the coincidences, the coinciding. It's not accidental, it's coincidental. Structure creates consistency, consistency creates results. For you, what structure systems have you been able to help big companies around the world with so that their elevated basements allow them to create greater passion, purpose, and profitability in their businesses?
This question is interesting because the idea of structure kind of comes in, and people will think of edifice. They will think of what the calendar is a good idea. I use my calendar as kind of scaffolding for things. Well, I want to go broader than that, and this is the work that I do with the clients, and I actually developed a whole program called the Hidden Laws of Leadership around this. And one of the hidden laws is a law that I call ontological design. And ontological design, basically, ontology is the study of reality, and design, most people know what design is. It's all, what happens within the construct of reality. Ontological design is about designing the environment in a way that it designed you back. So there's a reciprocity that comes into play here. So with my clients, what we'll be looking at is, what are you designing your environment to include? And does it include what you need to have that will design you in return in the way that you want to be, do, or have? So this would include, who do you hang out with? That's an environmental question. Where is your office situated? We can bring some feng shui into this if we wanted to. But my office here, I've designed it in a way that I look out at the ocean. It's expansive, it's light, so it's conducive to writing. I want to be inspired, so I designed the environment so it designs me in return. It's subjective, it's subtle, but it works. So ontology, we want to pay attention to that.
Ontology in the reconciliation of the structure that creates consistency and design in the human design. Incredible. Let's get to the next lesson. Email me if you'd like to organize action, if you'd like to learn more about ontology and the study of human design. Email me, David means beloved, D first initial, Meltzer means waiter or servant. Let me be your beloved servant, David at dmeltzer.com. The fourth lesson before I let you go is one that I love, which is persistence.
Yeah.
And persistence.
You look up persistence in the dictionary, we're going to see your face.
That would be a huge compliment. And next to kindness, that would be my ultimate objective. So if you look up kindness and see David Meltzer's face or persistence, that's fine. But persistence takes motivation and turns it into inspiration.
Yeah.
Because motivation will fluctuate. It'll get you up, get you back up, get you started, get you back started. But devotional behavior, which is beyond discipline, still remains the variable that will take and elevate your motivation through persistent devotion into inspiration, living in spirit at the infinite of intelligence, intuition, energy, love, all the infinite things that are beyond the human experience. This idea of persistence going beyond motivation, how do you distinguish between motivation and inspiration, discipline, and devotion?
In our office hours filming in Vegas for season 10, we had Jack Canfield on, and I asked him this very question: what's the difference for you between motivation and inspiration? And I expected his answer to be what it was. Inspiration lives inside. Motivation is externally driven. I'm motivated by that carrot or that stick, sort of a thing. But the inspiration is connected to the for the sake of what? And this is where faith and devotion come into play. When I've landed on that, what matters, what truly matters to me, then I'm inspired. We can talk about it in terms of what would I love? Love, again, we've got that energetic dynamic that comes into play here. There's a frequency associated with that. So where that comes into play in terms of persistence, the world will conspire to throw all kinds of stuff up at me. And if I cannot remain connected to that inspired component, that element, it's easy for me to start drifting. So inspiration is the catalyst, if you will, to keep me on track. And there will be times where faith is the only thing that will do. It's the only thing that will get me back home, so to speak. I have to believe that it's here. It's already happened. I just haven't arrived. I need to keep coming back to that peace inside here. That's what persistence makes possible. Is reconnection, reconnection, reconnection. Nothing can. An old mentor of mine years ago said, nothing can withstand the constant pounding of a hammer. And that's what persistence is. It will break through the shell that is keeping me from having this peace alive in my life.
Yeah, I was taught that nothing can withstand the constant pounding of a drop of water. And the only thing that will break a stone that can destroy marble when you take the time variable out. We're going to let Blaine go, but if you would like a persistence exercise to elevate through devotional behavior, which includes faith and discipline, so that your purpose, your definiteness of purpose, is greater than your pain, email me, David, which means beloved, at my first initial D, last name Meltzer means servant. Let me be your beloved servant, David at dmeltzer.com. Blaine, why don't you jump on Clubhouse, get on the road. We know you have important things to do. Feel free to participate on the Clubhouse side of things. I'll go ahead and take lesson 5, see if you can't join. Are you going to take questions on the road or we'll just...
Yeah, I'll be taking questions. Yep. Yeah,
okay,
so
cool.
I'll jump on Clubhouse app.
Let me know when you're back or ready to go, but I'll be finishing up in the next 9 minutes.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So thank you, brother. The fifth lesson is our environment shapes our results. So our environment influences what we do, say, think, feel, and believe. It sets our expectations. It elevates our confidence and comfortable feelings. It creates opportunities, options, and touches of favor, as well as a standard for everything we do. And in an environment of positivity, of a frequency, of a neighborhood, the conversations that we have, the people we surround ourselves with, this is what Don't Do Business with Dicks is about. If anybody would like a book from me, I will sign and send it to you, pay for shipping, and the book, David at emeltzer.com. And these conversations, the people, the ideas, the places, the circumstances, the communities we participate in, either accelerate, aggregate, or compound our growth. They're either categorized as aligned with where we want to be or better, or they are interfering with it, which is reinforcing the limitations of the meaning of the past, which limits our self-image, which is exactly how we limit where we're going to be or better, because you never overachieve your own self-limit. So we want to make sure that we are constantly conducting an audit of our environment by categorizing things as non-negotiable or negotiable behavior, as aligned with where I want to be or better, or interfering with it. And when we do that, it expands, reinforces, and challenges us every day to accelerate, aggregate, and compound our growth. And this is why we're here. Growth is fueled by lessons. The lessons keep on coming until we learn them. And we need to be aggressive in learning lessons by being grateful to have the perspective to learn those lessons, to be forgiving, to make all the mistakes that are necessary to make the lessons, to be in control of and be accountable for those lessons. What did I do to be responsible? What did I do to attract this? What did I do to participate in this perception? And what am I supposed to learn from it? It is our environment that will shape our outcomes. If we put our emotions into the environment, like Blaine had said, in this ontological being, in a human design bookend by the time our heart starts till it stops, divided by 24 hours each and every day. The 24 hours that we're given, utilize 12 of them to take control with non-negotiable behaviors of your sleep, your health, your family, your faith, your finance, the study of time and the study of relativity. Take inventory and audit this environment through your behaviors each and every day, and have the freedom to do what you want, when you want, with who you want, for as long as you want, with the other 12 hours of awake time. This one little shift, this paradigm of I am, what am I doing to interfere with it? I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? If you want to get the exercise and guide for how our environment shapes our outcomes and do an environmental audit in this ontological search, just email me, David, which means beloved, at D is my first initial. Meltzer means servant. Let me be your beloved servant. David at dmeltzer.com. Email me. I'll give you my guides, exercises, and books for free. The final lesson of turning ambition into action is small actions create extraordinary results. Do great things when they're small. Don't wait for them to be so big that you have to do great things. Do great things when they're small, because these small actions create extraordinary results. Most people overestimate what they can do in a day and underestimate what they can do in a year. And that's the same impact of compounding results. It's the same problem of putting a quantitative man-made construct on an objective instead of leaving it under the guise of acceleration, aggregation, and compounding. I want to double the amount of money as fast as I can is a much better objective than I'm going to make $1 million by the end of the month. We don't want to overestimate or underestimate. We want to accelerate, aggregate, and compound through small actions, because that's what creates exponentiality of extraordinary results. One call may not change everything. One introduction may not change everything. And one lesson may not change everything. But repeated consistently with persistence in the pursuit of your potential, your outcome, or better, these actions create extraordinary outcomes. For example, so many people want to know how to build a community, how to do what they ask. You got to ask every day, just minimum one ask in person, one ask on the phone, one ask via email, one ask via social media a day. Is that too much to ask to do great things when they're small? One ask in person, on the phone, via email and social media equals 28 asks a week, 112 asks a month. You do the math. 1% of yeses, 10% of yeses, 20% of yeses, 30% of yeses. How exponential will your outcome be? Because these small actions create extraordinary results. Repeat these consistently and they create extraordinary outcomes. Achievement is not built through great things in built in breakthroughs, it's built through behaviors. Too many people think it's built in breakthroughs, but it's actually built in behaviors. So I want everyone to commit today to one ask in person, one ask on the phone, one ask in the email, one ask via social, one relationship building action, one piece of content, one lesson learned, one act of kindness every day. And as you are consistent, you'll get better asking. Your results will get better. So it's a 1x, not a 1x, not a 2x, but a 2x. Small actions create extraordinary results. If you want an exercise about how to do great things when they're small, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. David means beloved. @D is my first initial. Meltzer means servant. Let me be your beloved servant. David@dmeltzer.com. If you want to turn ambition into action, we need to understand our definiteness of purpose, clarity, balance, focus, and harmony. Specificity will change the execution if utilized in an ontological way. We need to create organized action because success loves structure. Understanding how persistence plays between motivation and inspiration, and discipline becomes devotion in that inspiration. Utilizing an audit of our environment that will shape our outcomes exponentially, and knowing that we need to be great in the small things so small actions create extraordinary results. This is how we turn ambition into action. Goals alone don't create results. Systems do. The most successful people aren't necessarily the most talented. They are the most aligned, intentional, devotional, persistent, and adaptable. I guarantee that. Those who commit process ultimately separate themselves from those who rely on inspiration alone. Don't be an extra miler, going the extra mile every once in a while just to justify why you're not where you want to be. Go the empty mile every single day. There's no competition. There's only ease in the empty mile. I promise you that success is not reserved for the best or the most gifted. It belongs to those who consistently, persistently pursue their potential and align their behaviors with where they want to be or better, and diminish, dissipate, and disappear those that interfere with it. They align their behaviors with their ambition. And that's what turns ambition into action. If you would like this training, if you'd like the replay, the guides, the exercises, or my book, please email me, david@dmeltzer.com. david@dmeltzer.com. David means beloved. @D is my first initial. Meltzer means servant. Let me be your beloved servant. david@dmeltzer.com. Appreciate everyone being here on Wednesday, especially in the Napoleon Hill Institute. As chairman, I'm blessed to be part of such an extraordinary organization, the legacy of Napoleon Hill. Please remember to join us. We are on the road. If you'd like to be informed or invited to everywhere we're going to be, area code 949-298-2905.